this is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona, this is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
This is why this audience is going to have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, incredible day for news. Thank you for being here for the evening, early evening show. As you can tell, with everything going on across the country, from the Supreme Court to what's happening up in the New York courtroom, all of it quite intense. I've got Sam Faddis on here, and I got Sam on because Colonel Mills first and then Sam have been talking about these cyber attacks, and I think the beginning of the kinetic part of the Third World War, the codename Volt Typhoon. But people in our audience know Sam as two things. Former CIA officer, we bring him in for the toughest analytical pieces, whether it's against the CCP or what's happening in the geostrategically. But in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, he's known as one of the leaders of the Patriot Movement and one of the leaders of MAGA, and has been fighting this election fraud, all of it, with all the great patriots in the Commonwealth that have been in the trenches on this. I got to ask you to start off, Sam, and we covered this obviously in the last hour, but we're trying to get more grassroots people in here. The obviously, the vast criminal conspiracy to go against MAGA and President Trump, you saw in Arizona, I mean, a woman who at 208 votes is still not the legitimate attorney general in Arizona because there's 9,000 votes that they won't count, 9,000 ballots they won't count. And Abe Hamadeh's actually, technically, the real attorney general. She brings this vast charge with all these charges that add up to decades in prison for people in their 70s. You've seen what's happening in Michigan. They just added a bunch of people as unindicted co-conspirators. You see the great job Julie Kelly's doing, not just on the Supreme Court today, but the amazing job she's doing on the documents case. And of course, you work with highly classified material your entire life. But you see whether it's in Georgia or down in Miami or in with Jack Smith in D.C. or this fiasco going on, which I still can't figure out what the crime is. Another day of testimony. I still don't understand. Are they accusing Trump of election fraud in 2016? I mean, it's so bizarre. Johnson won't get off his ass. Jim Jordan won't get off his ass. And of course, their staffs are all saying, staffs on Capitol Hill saying, please, please, please stop beating us up. It's because Johnson won't move legislation. Well, there's more than that. What's your assessment as a grassroots leader in the Commonwealth, which I still think was the center of gravity of election fraud with the mail-in ballots in 2020. What is your sense of this vast criminal conspiracy trying to lock up MAGA for fighting for election integrity, sir?
Well, it is real. It's ongoing. It's obviously massive against the president. But look, as we both know, it's way down below that level. I mean, this lawfare offensive to destroy people goes all the way down to anybody who signed up as an alternate elector for Trump in 2020. All they did was put their names on a list and say, if the court challenge is upheld and the election results are thrown out and Pennsylvania is given to Trump, in other words, if the legal process gives him the win, these are the guys who will be the electors. It's been done, as you know, many, many times before all over the country. Nothing illegal about it. They're still trying to destroy those people. Tom Carroll, head of Lehigh Valley Tea Party down in Allentown, been a patriot for decades on the front lines. He's a lawyer. He's one of those people. He also pushed litigation basically on the electronic voting machines, saying, hey man, if you're going to use these and we got to rely on how they work, here's a crazy idea. How about you open them up and show us how they work? Don't just tell us to trust the company. That's not how this works. Demonstrate what's going on. He's now facing civil litigation. They're trying to disbar him. They're trying to charge him with $1 million in attorney's fees for the other side. So I'm just using Tom as an example. This is going on everywhere. It's very clear what the goal is. It's to destroy anybody who dares question this ridiculous narrative about 2020 being the safest, most secure election.
Do you feel comfortable? Because you know, I'm not a machine guy, and I 100% agree. They're way too complicated for what they do. Lindell and those guys convinced me of that. The reason I'm not a total machine guy is I see in Pennsylvania, and I know exactly how they stole in Pennsylvania. Do you believe we've made any progress in the Commonwealth at all? You guys have been fighting now for 4 years. You've won some cases. You've been thrown out of some others. Obviously, they're trying to destroy all MAGA there. Do you think we've made progress to at least somehow rectify this situation now that Josh Shapiro's got his iron grip on this?
Have we made some progress? Incremental, sure. Have we gotten to the heart of the matter and made anything close to the amount of progress we needed to? No. And yeah, look, Josh Shapiro's now set up his disinformation task force or whatever he calls it. Its job is to destroy anybody who questions anything. Disinformation equals questioning the approved narrative, obviously. So if you question the approved narrative, now the state is going to hunt you down, you know, deplatform you, et cetera. And what's the fundamental problem here in my mind? We know what the left's agenda is. What we don't see is the Republican Party really fighting back against it. Let's keep in mind, mail-in voting in Pennsylvania was passed by a then completely Republican-controlled legislature. So the Republicans created this mess, and they don't want to deal with it. They're not down there banging away, fighting in Harrisburg every day, trying to fix it. They're actually, most of them, doing nothing. They're actually spend most of their time fighting the Patriot movement and fighting the MAGA movement in Pennsylvania. That actually scares them apparently more than the Democratic Party's agenda.
Well, no, we can see that across the country. I mean, the Republicans, Johnson, these guys, they're leaning on their race right now. There's a vast criminal conspiracy that you must start the investigation on. They don't want to have any part of it because they don't want Trump to be around. They could go and kiss his ass all the time. They feel if he's beaten in November, the MAGA movement will collapse. I got news for him. One, Trump's not going to lose in November, and the MAGA movement's here to stay and only going to get bigger. Let me I'm pressed for time, and I know you are too. Let me pivot to Ann Magazine in this piece, Colonel Mills and yourself, because a lot of our audience are coming to us, and a lot of our sponsors are also deep into this. Volt Typhoon, and when you write a piece like this, I take notice. Walk me through this piece you've got up on Ann Magazine and your Substack about Volt Typhoon. For maybe some of the listeners or viewers haven't been there, what is Volt Typhoon, and why are you kind of going, hey guys, I think we got to get close to going to general quarters on this. What's the issue here?
Right. So Volt Typhoon is a code name, whatever. I think it's actually the Bureau's code name for a massive Chinese cyber movement attack on the United States. It's got a bunch of other taglines as well for different agencies. It doesn't matter. That's our name for what they're doing. It is a huge Chinese cyber attack, ongoing attack on the United States. But here are the critical elements that I think FBI Director Wray, for whatever reasons, has actually come out and said this very clearly, and still most of the media is not grabbing a hold of these things. The goal of this massive ongoing effort, and I mean massive, it's been ongoing for at least 5 years, and actually they don't know how long. It is not just stealing intelligence or stealing credit card numbers. The goal, the purpose of this thing is for the Chinese to infiltrate computer systems so they can crash all of our critical infrastructure. And as Ray has said, to his credit, I'm not one of his big fans, but to his credit, has said very clearly on multiple occasions, they intend to exercise this capability in the near term, not the long term, by 2027 at the latest, probably in relation to a move on Taiwan. In other words, it is an attack to take down our water system, our electrical grid, crash all your banking system, crash all your communications. Everything in the current economy, in the current world, ceases to function if you do this. The water won't work, the lights won't come on, you won't have any money because your money exists as theoretical electronic money in a computer system. When the computers are down, you don't have cash. trucks don't move, planes don't fly, your grocery store can't restock, assuming it hasn't already been looted. You're talking about taking the United States in an instant back to the 16th century. And the other thing that gets lost here is, this is not like you're going to have a power outage at home, folks. Not like the lights are going to go out and a couple hours later it comes back on. The goal here is in many cases to cause physical destruction. And this has been demonstrated in the past with generators. So in other words, you hack into a power plant, and by messing with the generators and the systems, you physically destroy the generator or portions of the machinery. So, or you destroy huge transformers that, by the way, we don't make anymore in the United States in the power grid. So it's not, the power's not coming back on the next day. It may not come back on for weeks, months, who knows? It may not come back on at all. So you're talking about destroying the United States of America. What Ray's saying is, it's not like one day they might be able to do this. They're in place to do this right now. So next question obviously ought to be, well, that sounds like they have a plan to do something right now. They didn't just develop this for fun. Like, what are they getting ready to do? Which is basically obviously start a war. And isn't that kind of something we ought to focus on?
Leon Panetta, the CIA director, a chief of staff under Clinton, I think, but CIA director and then Secretary of Defense under Obama. I remember when he left, he gave his farewell address or remarks at the aircraft carrier there at in Midtown Manhattan. And he warned Wall Street at the time that the beginning of the kinetic part of the Third World War that he felt was eventually be upon us would start with what he called a cyber Pearl Harbor. At the time, yep. I was running Breitbart, and we made a huge deal about this, and it didn't get traction. People just kind of, oh, okay. Do you think Leon Panetta was right? Is that what Ray's warning about us now? Is that what Colonel Mills and Sam Faddis are warning about? Is that the kinetic part of this conflict that we see taking shape on the Eurasian landmass, that you believe that the kinetic part will really start with a cyber-like Pearl Harbor attack against the United States infrastructure?
Yeah, without question. You know what it reminds me of as an analogy, Steve, and this will resonate with you as a former naval officer. You remember before the Japanese began bombing in Pearl Harbor, I think it was the USS Ward destroyer escort off Pearl Harbor sighted a Japanese midget sub and actually depth charged it. And yep. It turns out it sank the thing. And then they call up, you know, the Pacific Fleet, and they're on the radio like, by the way, guys, there's a midget sub here, and those things can only launch from a larger sub because they're very short range, and the Japanese aren't going to do that as like a one-off thing, man. In other words, everybody ought to be going to general quarters, and because whatever's happening right now, it's going to get really, really, really bad. And for whatever combination of reasons, nobody sounded the alarm. I mean, it wasn't until the bombs started falling that they woke up. This is the same kind of moment. It's like, this is not theoretically 20 years from now they could do this, guys. This is, they're in place to do it right now. So that means something.
And Ray, and the official apparatus is trying to cover themselves. They're putting out enough warnings in enough stark ways that when this thing hits, they're going to say, hey, you guys are warned, you didn't pay attention. What would you recommend our audience do right now? People kind of look to you as the one of the wise men of our movement. What would you recommend this audience do right now?
Well, I guess people need to operate on two levels. One would be pressuring your elected officials to friggin' wake up and do their jobs and get serious about the Chinese threat. On a more immediate level, you got to say to yourself, all right, again, you know, I live in the mountains and the power goes out with some frequency. Okay, we light candles and by the next morning we got power back on. That's not what this is going to be, guys. You're not going to be able to access any money. You're not going to be able to go to the gas station to get gas. You're not going to be able to go get groceries. So you better put yourself in a position to be self-sufficient for some extended period of time and accept that. If you take away the 21st century, which basically means take down the internet and electricity, you're back to pre-industrial world. and you got to be positioned to survive in that. And that's horrifying to have to say to Americans in 2024, but it's true.
Sam Faddis, where do people go to find out more about the Patriot Movement in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and N Magazine and all your analysis? Because this, and we're pushing this out, the Typhoon, Volt Typhoon piece must be read today.
So the coalition, the Patriot Movement in Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania Patriot Coalition, and there is a PennsylvaniaPatriotCoalition.com website. You can connect directly to us. You can connect directly to me, and we will get you involved, and you can find out about the events. We are growing every day. And Magazine is on Substack, so it's andmagazine.substack.com, andmagazine.substack.com, and that'll take you to everywhere I am on the web as well.
Sam Faddis, you're a hero and a patriot. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for writing the piece, and thank you for leading the fight with the Patriot Movement in the Commonwealth, sir.
Thank you.
This is why I want everybody now to go to, look, I was never a prepper, but I got mugged by reality. Sam Faddis says it's coming. Colonel Mills says it's coming. The official apparatus says it's coming. So you got to prepare. If it doesn't come, that's fine. There's no downside to preparation. Go to mypatriotsupply.com and do it today. Every time we get a sponsor, we make sure they make access to their senior people. They have consultants, advisors. You can talk to Joe Reekin team, but go to My Patriot Supply today. Immerse yourself in information. Read Volt Typhoon first, and then ask and speak to Joe Reek and his consultants and his advisors. Do it today. Also, you got the situation at Home Title Lock about your mortgage, so go to HomeTitleLock.com. You got Natalie Dominguez and the entire group over there. Just go immerse yourself, reach out to those people, and build a one-on-one relationship. Find out about that. HomeTitleLock.com and, of course, Birch Gold. BirchGold.com/Bannon. You get the totally free end of the dollar empire. Now about the central bank digital currency. But talk to Philip Patry and the team. Find out why gold has been a hedge, particularly in times of turbulence. And what Sam is warning you about and Colonel Mills is warning you about is real turbulence, and people now need to start taking this seriously. You need to be more self-reliant. I know some of you are total preppers and you're ready. A lot of us are not, and that's why we got to take it seriously, because we need MAGA at the ramparts. Okay, in the rest of this segment, I'm going to play something, and I want you to watch it. It's mesmerizing. Tom Klingenstein, who is a playwright but former chairman over at Claremont, one of the great think tanks, has done a video where he makes a very specific case. He's our guest. He's going to join us on the other side. We're going to take this to break. I want everybody to watch this. I'm going to bring in the author of it as soon as we come back from break. Quite powerful. Tom Klingenstein, a playwright, a creator, also a former chairman over at Claremont, so a big brain. Watch this. There'll be a short commercial break afterwards, and then we will be back with the author himself. Also, Ben Harnwell is going to join us. Some breaking developments from Rome and the situation in Ukraine. Ben will join me also right after break. Tom Klingenstein, watch it. We'll be back after a short commercial break.
Now that President Trump is the Republican nominee for president in 2024, it's time for Republicans, including those who doubt him or even can't stand him, to get behind him. The times demand it. We are in a war fighting an enemy of revolutionaries that kick and spit on America. I call our enemy the woke regime or the group quota regime. This war is a contest between those who love America and those who hate it. But we do not have a commander in chief. You can't win a war without one. We shouldn't much care whether our commander-in-chief is a real conservative, whether he is a role model for children, or says lots of silly things, or whether he is modest or dignified. What we should care about is whether he knows we are in a war, knows who the enemy is, and knows how to win. Trump does. His policies are important but not as important as the rest of him. Trump grasps the essential things. He understands the group quarter regime is evil and will not stop until it destroys America. He is a fighter, bold, brave, and decisive, who has confidence in himself and his country. Trump never apologizes for America. He rightly believes America is the greatest country in history. Trump says, in effect, we have our culture. It's exceptional, and that's the way we want to keep it. And we won't keep it if we usher in millions of immigrants with cultures different from our own. Trump knows his job is to protect Americans, and just Americans. Protect them not just from enemies abroad, but from the woke globalists within. He knows that America does not need more diversity. It needs more cohesion. The woke radicals tell the Trump voters they are a threat to democracy. Think about that. They're saying you Trumpsters are a threat to democracy. The woke radicals also tell us ad nauseum that America is systemically racist. Trump knows this is deadly nonsense, and he says so. This charge of systemic racism bounces off Trump because he has no white guilt, or any guilt for that matter. Trump tells his supporters what they already know. They are not racist, and they do not have white privilege. The woke radicals shut up those who disagree. Trump will not be shut up. If they manage to put him in jail, he will still roar like a lion. The woke radicals have the moral arrogance of fanatics. Trump, God bless him, knows we are all sinners. Trump rejects the utopian fanaticism of the woke radicals. He is a businessman who takes the world on its own terms and navigates by facts and common sense. Trump's base knows firsthand the America that Trump wants to recover. They love him, and they know he loves them. They will fight for him because they know he will fight for them. Trump speaks to his supporters as fellow citizens, without any condescension or poll-tested BS. Despite his billions, he is one of them, an outsider looking in, a man who takes ketchup on his steak and is as disgusted as they are with the anti-America elite. This natural appeal has molded everyday patriotic Americans into an army. We cannot stop the left's revolution and retake the nation without these men and women. Unlike most conservatives, they will actually fight for America. But they follow Trump. Without him, they stay home. With him, they are united and determined. At his rallies, his audience invariably breaks into chants of USA, USA. In these moments, Trump and his audience mutually pledge to each other their fidelity and their sacred honor. His enemies hate him with an indescribable fierceness. Another Hitler, they say. Elect him and he will be a dictator. We should take this hysteria as reason for hope. The America haters rightly fear that Trump and his party are on the threshold of a successful counter-revolution. Trump hates his enemies every bit as much as they hate him. His enemies are America's enemies. Trump is the most towering figure of our time. He has changed politics, not just in America, but in the West. If we are to take back America, we need someone who is unmovable, who has proven that he can stand up against the immensely powerful army of woke modernity that will attack him with all its might. Someone who will go after the deep state without pity or compassion. And someone who has the conviction that America is still the last best hope of Earth. That someone is Trump. Trump, the politician, came out of the blue. An unconventional commander against an unconventional enemy. Almost inconceivable as president at any other time, Trump fits this turbulent moment to a T. Is it too much to wonder whether the appearance of this most unconventional man is providential? Lincoln spoke of Americans as the almost chosen people. Trump gives us hope that the God who has never forsaken his almost chosen people will not do so now. Thank you.
Hey, folks, if you watch War Room, you know we talk every day about the geopolitical and other forces driving the price of gold. There are actually a couple of reasons this is happening. Let me walk through them. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since January 2021, cost of living is up 18%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now significantly north of $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the House of Cards will come crashing down, and a presidential election year that will have massive implications on the future of this country. All this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and that is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold Group. Secure a portion of your savings now with gold and do it from Birch Gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free information kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of your pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold also. Just text Bannon to 989898 and claim your free info kit to protect your savings in a time of turbulence, instability, and uncertainty. Do it today. Take action, action, action. Birch Gold Group. Text Bannon at 989898. The apples in your holiday pie taste amazing, but it's not exactly the recommended 5 servings of fruits and vegetables. The Mayo Clinic says if you want to help prevent heart disease, lower blood pressure, and your cholesterol, eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, which, as you know, is almost impossible. That's why you need to check out Field of Greens. Every fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was medically selected by doctors to support your vital organs, like your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and your immune system. Yo, folks, the holidays are here and you need to stay healthy. Plus, you'll notice your skin, hair, and nails will look healthier. Field of Greens is the simplest way to get those daily fruits and veggies, and it tastes amazing. Let me get you started with 15% off your first order. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Bannon. That's promo code Bannon at fieldofgreens.com. fieldofgreens.com. Make sure you take it today. Use your agency. Action, action, action. fieldofgreens.com. Promo code Bannon. True or false?
Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room Battleground with Stephen K. Bannon.
So Tom Klingenstein joins me. He's not the former, he's the current chairman at Claremont and a playwright. I want to walk through. I think you've got some comments first about Sam Faddis. I know you were in our virtual green room when we were doing that. Your comments or observations on Sam Faddis?
One short one. People have to appreciate lawfare more than they do. Very powerful. I'm friends with John Eastman, one of Trump's election lawyers, and you know they've just debarred him. They will effectively indict him. And what people have to keep in mind is the effect it has on people who aren't disbarred, but who are representing people who these various groups, 65 Project for one, disapprove of. It's like censorship. You censor one person, and 1,000 other people get the idea that there's certain things they can't say. And that's the same as lawfare. And to plug myself at tomklingenstein.com, there is an article today about John Eastman and more broadly about lawfare. So that's what I have to say about that, Steve.
Well, hang on for a second, but I want to pursue this because this when they look at lawfare, and this is why in the previous hour we're all over this vast criminal conspiracy and why the people in the House or other Republican officials are not doing anything about it. Lawfare, from their perspective, is working. Number one, your point, all the top law firms won't take these cases. They won't let young partners do it. And associates know if I get involved in this, I'm not going to be a partner. So all the prominent conservative firms won't touch it. The white shoe law firms won't touch it. And now you have people, when you see Rudy and Eastman and others crucified, disbarred, but also put into bankruptcy and debanked, that's chasing away all legal talent from doing it. Lawfare is working for the Democrats. The Marxist takedown of the rule of law, our judicial system, our courts, all of it is on an empirical basis is working, is it not, Tom?
Absolutely. And that's what we've got to pay attention to. And as I say, it's underappreciated. It goes right at the rule of law. If you can't get representation, right, then there is no rule of law. And Eastman is a good example. Not only is he disbarred and embarrassed and humiliated, as your last guest noted was the object, now he has trouble finding representation. Who wants to represent John Eastman? And not only it's difficult to find representation, and as you imply, to the extent you find it, it's going to be in small boutique firms that don't have the resources of the law firm, right? So not only is it difficult to get representation, it costs over $1 million. Now, John is prominent. He can raise money on crowdfunding. But, you know, people like Jeff Clark, number three guy at Justice, you know, where does he get his money? And there are people that are much less prominent than he is. So absolutely, they're winning, and we're not paying attention to this. So I think it's great that you are.
We make a big deal, and we have Clark on all the time, and the Warren Posse, to the degree they give, these working class people give. Why is it that the Republican establishment, and particularly in that, this is why I'm all over people in the House every day about this. This is a clear and present danger to the American Republic. Why are people in positions of authority and power not doing anything about this? I mean, this is Julie Kelly alone. Julie Kelly did an amazing job in these redacted documents in the phony classified case. She has not gotten one call from any staffer to go through it. Why is it turned out it has to be Julie Kelly and Tom Fenton over Judicial Watch? Why is the official Republican Party silent on this, sir?
I have no idea. I'm frustrated like you are. I write repeatedly on the war, right? The one person, excuse me, that I thought got it was Vivek Ramaswamy. He talked about a war. I don't think he explained it very well. But, you know, it has many, many components, and lawfare is one of the newest and the most powerful. So you can't, or so far, I've been wildly unsuccessful in getting politicians, and I speak to a lot of them because they want my money, right? They don't want my advice, but I give them that in exchange for money. But, you know, they're like all politicians. They come hat in hand, you tell them something, and they say, I agree. Right. Or I'm doing exactly what you're advising. Well, no, they're not. And I don't know why. Maybe some of it, to give them a little bit the benefit of the doubt, is because their constituents aren't demanding it as much as they might. I mean, they're concerned about China, open borders and all that. But as I tell these politicians, your job is to lead, is to point out dangers that may be underappreciated, to give shape to ideas that are not fully formed. And that's what we're not doing. And, you know, they're all talking about it, but without any sense of urgency. What I try to convince them is that the number one threat we have is that we're being accused of being systemically racist. And that's so dangerous. Because what that means, in effect, is we're being accused of being evil. And why would we want to defend an evil regime? They want us to trade in the existing regime for a new regime, what I call the group quota regime. And if we don't fight back, if we don't understand that this charge of systemic racism is a powerful weapon, you know, then we're going to lose. And in response to your question, I can only say, I don't know. Part of the purpose of my video, of course, was to make that case, you know, to frame this election at its most simplest is between people who love America and people who hate it. It's not that much more complicated. Trump can communicate that. Republicans, and they're as patriotic as Trump, I would guess, they can't communicate it. And that's what they, one of the things they got to learn from Trump, and this gets to my video, it's not Trump's policies. They're important, but they can copy Trump's policies. It's the rest of him. And my video was really aimed at people who say, look, I like his policies, but I don't like the rest of him. Well, it's the rest of him that really matters. It's his courage, his independence, his anti-wokeness, his courage. You know, as you know, it's hard to imagine anybody else in America standing up to the abuse he incurred in his first term. Trump is towering. He's changed politics, not just in America, but in the West. More than Reagan, this is the most towering figure of our time. We need Trump. We need Trump's base.
You're a in an era where people are not well read, or finance guys are finance guys, business guys are business guys, political guys are political guys, and creative people are creative. you're what I would call a Renaissance man. What was it? What was your Damascene moment when you came being an investor, playwright, all of it, writer, that you said, hey, regardless of all the hits on him and all his imperfections, and his imperfections are vast as a human being, he's the first to admit that he's actually not very narcissistic or egotistical. What was it that you saw that said, hey, this guy's a towering figure? And when historians look back over this, this will be like the age of Jackson. This will be referred to as the age of Trump.
Well, I don't know if there was an epiphany, but there was an awareness or a belief on my part that we were in a war, a real war, you know, like in the Civil War, where you had two sides, one favored slavery, the other didn't. One wanted to expand it, the other contract it. That's a war, right? That's a fundamental difference in ends. And so it was many years, I don't know how many exactly, or what exactly inspired me to believe we're in a war. But the reason I supported Trump, and I have from the beginning, is that he was the first one who looked like he knew we were in a war, and he would fight. You know, you asked why the Republicans don't fight. I don't know. But I know that Trump will, and it was that recognition. You know, as you say, he may not be in all respects a great guy, though I will say, just as an aside, he's not half as bad as people think. But okay, let's stipulate he's a bad guy. Who cares, right? You know, you're not auditioning him to be your friend to invite to dinner. You want a commander-in-chief who's strong, right, courageous, knows the enemy, knows how the enemy operates, and Trump is that kind of guy. And Trump is a great leader. You know, I think you look at Trump at his rallies, it's obvious he loves them, they love him. Compare him to Hillary or Obama. They disdained Trump's base. And they didn't have to say it. I mean, Hillary said that Trump's base was deplorable. She didn't have to say it. We knew it. Indeed, that comment resonated because it confirmed what we already know. The same applies to Obama. So he's got to motivate his base. He can do it. You know, his base, unlike conservatives generally, are willing to fight for him. I mean, I think this proposed boycott of truckers in New York after this ridiculous verdict, you know, this is great. And we need more of this, you know, civil, to be sure. But we need those expressions of real defiance.
No, you can see that he's that he is a great guy. And you can see that by he goes up Broadway. He's got 7 and 8 deep. People, Hispanic, from the Caribbean, African-American. He goes to the construction site this morning. They're all over it. When you talk to people like Republicans, say, well, he's mean tweets. He gets up at the rallies and says mean stuff about people. Hey, that's the package. And the package is you're absolutely right. You've mentioned the word courage a couple of times here. The one way I look at Trump is that he's got courage. And, you know, the old saying, it's on courage that all the other virtues rest. When I meet these Republicans, they all tell you behind the scenes, yeah, I agree with you, et cetera. But they don't have that fortitude to go into the arena where they're trying to, like John Eastman, they're trying to put you in jail. They're trying to bankrupt you. They're trying to humiliate you. They're trying to take all the work, your life's work, and destroy it. Very few people have the appetite to go do that. Trump has it. That's why I keep saying, General Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Trump. And I'm a huge Reagan guy, but Trump's a towering figure because we're now in the middle of a 30-front war, right? And he stepped into the middle of it. Can you go ahead, sir.
I was going to say, one of the things we have to understand is that all the things that people on the right object to, open borders, energy dependence, climate alarmism, you know, rewriting our history and taking down statues, those are all part of the same movement to destroy us. Those aren't independent stupid things. Those are all stupid things in service of a particular end. And that's, you know, that's a unified theory. That's a way to find a common thread. And that's also part of the job of a politician, to explain the battles and explain how those battles fit into the larger war. But they don't really believe there is a war. They might say it, but they use the word metaphorically. And they have to mean it much more literally, even if it's not a fighting war at the moment.
Well, at the moment. What inspired you to actually make this video? Because when Brian Kennedy and others, I got it from a couple of different sources, it blew me away. And I know something like that takes work. What was it that drove you to say, hey, I just can't continue to write or talk to people or meet with politicians or, you know, have my website or put stuff on social media and need to actually make, which essentially is a small film to get this out. What was it that drove you to do that?
One, because I think I recognize the situation, right? There's a sense of urgency. And two, this is something that I can do. I think I can write, I can deliver a speech, and I have the resources to produce one. I mean, that was a well-produced video. Didn't cost $1 trillion, but it costs money, and not everybody has that money. I'm very lucky. And by the way, you had an interesting comment about, you know, people or politicians or businessmen or intellectuals, you know, and they remain in those silos. And, you know, that's why I like to think I can step in each of those areas. We used to have businessmen who were really intellectual leaders who could speak and write. We don't have that. Peter Thiel is a good exception. But that's what I want to do. An intellectual who can speak to the average person, as well as speaking to other intellectuals. That's kind of immodest.
It's one of the powers. Yeah, no. But it's you rate it, so it's humble brag. Trump can connect, like Shaw said, only connect. He can connect with working class people. He can connect with the vast middle class here, the silent majority. What is your fear? We're 5 or 6 months away from an election, and it's quite obvious to me today that the McConnell and his donors, Johnson and the donors, the McCarthy donors, they're lying to us. They're quite comfortable. They want to hold the House and add a few seats. They think they can take 3, 4, 5 seats in the Senate, control that. They believe that if Trump's defeated in November, it's not the end of the world, but it's the end of MAGA. And that's what they want. They think this MAGA movement is too full of deplorables. It's too populist. It's too nationalistic. It is not a neoliberal neocon. You saw everything you wanted to see with them, with what they've done to basically concur with all of Biden's economic policies and also to concur with his neocon philosophy of national security and not America first. What is your fear between now and November, sir?
That Trump doesn't win. You know, I have some of the fears everybody has. You have election integrity. I think it's been fixed to a significant degree in red states, but who cares? It's got to be fixed in the swing states. And I have no confidence that it has been. Could they put Trump in jail? I doubt it. But if they could, would that have a bearing on sort of moderate, sensible people? Yeah. I'd vote for Trump if he were in jail. I'd vote for Trump if he had two heads, right? I think Trump is just that important. So, you know, those are, you know, and I have fear, of course, you know, extraneous, unpredictable events, right, that can, or manufactured by the media events. I mean, they're going to try to figure out a way to win this election, whether it's election fraud, suppressing adverse yes. stories to Biden, you know, the stuff they did in the last election. So they'll cheat. I don't, you know, and there are a lot of ways to cheat.
Tom, how do people get to your content? How do they get to your writing? If they want to see this video again, where do they go? Your social media, all of it.
Tom Klingenstein, oneword.com. And you see the spelling on the screen there. It's TomKlingenstein.com. And hey, Steve, I don't know about my social media. I've got social media people who help me there because I'm old.
We will push it. You're young at heart. We'll push it out. Tom, thank you very much for joining us. Very powerful video. We look forward to having you back on.
Good. Appreciate it. Thank you, Steve.
Tom is correct about the 30 front war. It's a real war. I'm not going to be able to get to. We got huge news out of Ben Harnwell, but we're going to have him on tomorrow's show. Ben is all over this situation about this top secret use of long range missiles. We are reaching out to Johnson's office and see if he knew about that, why he didn't tell anybody. If he did know about it, did he concur with it? Obviously, if he did not know about it, how could he possibly have passed this Ukraine situation by knowing it? It is another example of deep state capture of Polly Pockets and between not going after the criminal conspiracy and now, quite frankly, conspiring with the Biden regime to essentially start a war between the American people and the Russian people. Let me reiterate, we are not at and will not go to war with the Russian people. But you've got elites in Washington, D.C. are doing everything in their power to do that. Okay, Lou Dobbs is going to follow us. We're back at 10, and we're going to have Ben on the morning show. We got a lot to go through with all things Ukraine, other things coming out of our international bureau. Birchgold.com, please, please, please go check it out. You get the free fifth installment, the end of the dollar empire. You can get the other four installments free also. But now is time, because as Tom told you, we're at a 30 front war and it ain't going away. And every day between now and November is going to be a fight. And every day after we win is going to be even a bigger fight. So make sure you go to birchgold.com/Bannon. Philip Patrick is going to join me on Saturday. Hopefully we get a half hour or so of his time. We're going to walk through and break down all the capital markets aspect around gold, particularly gold as a hedge. Lou Dobbs is next. We're going to be back at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning in the War Room. We'll see you then. Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest. From the online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery and ongoing care, visit jacemedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action.
War Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.